Okay, so we're on Peichet Amud Beis. Today's daf Peitet. I'll begin on the bottom line on Peichet Amud Beis, 88b. Everybody all set? Okay, so the Mishnah is going to talk about a woman who wants to collect her ksuba and what evidence she has to present. So we're going to go through the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very unclear. We'll explain the way we understand the Havamina, and then we'll try to get through it as best we can. So Anitan, Hotzia get beinima ksuba. The woman produces a get. In other words, she was divorced, so she produces a get. But she doesn't produce the ksuba to go with it. We think right now in the Hava Amina that she's lost the ksuba. That's what we think the case is. And the Gemara is going to explain later on that maybe she never had a ksuba. We'll see. So she doesn't have a ksuba. So on the top line on page 10, let me get the other Gemara out in a second. Sorry. Yeah. So the Gemara says at the top of page 10, govah ksubata, that she can nevertheless can collect the ksuba, even though she doesn't have a ksuba, she can collect it. And Rashi says the husband can't make a taina. I paid you back, and you gave me the shtar, and I ripped it up and destroyed it. In other words, that would be the way it would normally work. And Rashi says we should deny ksuba maaseh beitenu. The stipulation to give a ksuba is an obligation, not look between two parties. It's like statutory. In other words, you're obligated to ksuba. So the Gemara takes it right now on the Havamina that a person cannot deny a claim that's based on a Maaseh Beis, in other words, on a statutory, I'm saying statutory, but like a legally obligated obligation. But if he could produce other evidence, obviously that would be good. If he can come, produce Edom that he paid the money, or he has a shofar, a receipt. But otherwise, she wins the case, we think so far. Okay, now on the top line on Pei Tamar Aleph, let's say conversely, a different case. She produced a ksuba and she says she was divorced, but she has no get. He omer about giti. She says, I just lost the get, but dearest, we were divorced. Who omer about shovari? Said, yeah, we were divorced and I paid you and I lost the receipt. Baal chov, prisbal. Similarly, if a baal chov and Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, like, it's a very timely sort of example here in the Mishnah, we just past, Rosh Hashanah, where debts were released because of Shemitah. If a creditor produces an IOU note and he doesn't have a prusbul together with it, in other words, let's say we right now, a person comes to Bezdin, but he doesn't have a prusbul, and the debtor says the debt was released. I'm so sorry. I did borrow $10,000, but that's what halacha is. It's released. He says, "Beinimo prusbul, harei elo yiparu." So these cannot collect, they cannot collect. So the Baal Chov is out of gas, and the woman is also out of gas in this case. If she says avad giti, so he says. So it seems like the get is the important document to have that we'll discuss more in the Gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel Meir, when a sakana ve'elach, Shmuel says from the sakana that there was a point of religious persecution where the Jews were afraid to possess any document that had a religious connection to it, like a ksuba or a prosbul, that would be like the kiss of death. So when it's a kind of elach, isha go back to what tashlo beget, a woman can collect her ksuba without a get. Rabbi Shmuel Leo says, Baal Chov go b'shlo b'prosbul. Baal Chov can collect without a prosbul. That's what we think we say. So that's the Mishnah. I know the Mishnah is very unclear, but we're going to clarify it hopefully in the Gemara. But who, any questions, comes to us, anything? Just,
if the guy is saying,
first thing you got, Yosef, then I'll come to you first. Go ahead.
First, if she has debt,
right?
Not the ksuba,
right.
How much is she collecting?
Right.
$1 million?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. So we'll wait for the Gemara. It'll come out. She'll get the Ikar ksuba. We'll see. We'll see. And what anything else? Or that's it?
Yeah.
What do you have for me, Fern? Fern?
That if he's complaining that I lost the shofar for your
right.
ketubah, he's not
right.
really denying that he gave her a get. So why does she?
There's no question. In the second case, they're both on the same page that they were divorced. She says, "I was divorced. You owe me the ksuba." He says, "You were divorced, but I paid you already."
But why is the get so?
All right. Everybody's gonna hang tight a little bit. Hang
okay.
tight. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, what's up? All right, we'll see in the Gemara. All these questions, let's wait a few lines in the Gemara. We'll try to progress, okay? Okay, so I'm going to the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, Shmomi not kofin shovar. So there's machloket in the Gemara and Baba Batra. What is the right procedure? Do we write receipts or we don't write receipts when somebody presents a shtar chov? So the normal way is, like, let's say with shtar in general, if I have an IOU note that you owe me $10,000, you give me the $10,000, I give you the shtar chov, and gamarnu. But let's say we agree you owe me $10,000, but I don't have the shtar chov or something like that. I can't present it. So can I give you a shovar? Can I give you a receipt instead? Or we write a shovar. So is machlok in the Gemara whether that is the case or not? On the downside is it puts the onus on the debtor to kind of guard the document. But on the upside, it kind of facilitates, you know, commercial transactions. So here, the Gemara wants to say, we're focusing on the first halakha in the Mishnah. The first halakha in the Mishnah, leave everything else out. The first halakha is hosia get v'inimo ketubah. She produces a get and no ketubah, so she's gova ketubah, she collects the ketubah. So the Gemara says, shvami na kofin shovar. So the Gemara says, it must be, just from that halakha alone, leaving everything else, that the Tana of the Mishnah holds that we would write a receipt. The a kofin shovar, because if we don't write a receipt, why we would have to be concerned that, let's say, she'll collect once, then let's say he'll die, and then she'll produce the ksuba and try to collect again. In other words, she comes to him and she says, we were divorced. Now I want a payment. Then he'll die and she'll be weeping and walking to Besin. my dear husband, David, I loved him so much. I have the ksuba. Please, I need the money. Anyway, so the Gemara says it must be that we read a shovar. That's what we think the implication of the Mishnah is, that we read a shovar. Now Tosfos points out that, you know, the Mishnah itself referred to writing a shovar, right? He says on line 2 of the Mishnah, on Peitet, it mentions that he wrote a shovar. So why doesn't the Gemara bring a riot from there? So Tosfos has two answers. One, he wants to say that in the case that the Mishnah says, this is in the Tosos Dibur Batil Shmomi Na Kofin Shovar, he says, that it might be that he wasn't obligated to accept the shovar, but he went above and beyond the call of duty and he did it. Or it could be that if we can make a deed from the first case, rather make a deed from the first case. But let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, I'm a rab. So in line 8 in the Gemara, so I'm a rab. So Rab says, no, you can't necessarily prove from this first part of the Mishnah that we write a shovar, because I think that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where they would not write ksubas. In other words, not every place would write a ksuba. In other words, this relates to what you were asking about, the amount of money. In other words, so we don't write the ksuba, but there's a statutory amount. And so she can collect the statutory amount. So that's what it's talking about. So she comes, she produces the get, and the get is the only evidence that, you know, that has to be paid. And then when it's paid, they'll rip the get, or and that'll be the evidence that it was paid. So there's not necessarily a proof from our Mishnah that we write the shovar. Now let's see in the Gemara. Wait. Let's wait for 8 minutes. We'll wait another 8 lines, and I'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Get a notepad out and write down the questions. Okay, now. It says, so Amon Rab, Makom Shein Kofin Ketubah, Skinan. Ushmuel Amar, Av Makom Shein Kofin Ketubah. Shmuel says, our Mishnah could even be in a place where they did write a ketubah. So the Gemara says, Ushmuel Kofin Shovar. He means, so according to Shmuel, he's learning that the Mishnah holds that we would write a shovar, because if I have the document, and we're saying that the woman, you know, that the man has to pay it even though she doesn't produce the ksuba, so presumably she's going to issue a shofar. So I'm Rabbanan. Rabbanan says, it was personally explained to me by Shmuel. Now, Shmuel's going to say that our Mishnah can be understood either in a place where they write ksubas or a place where they don't write ksubas, but in either one of those cases, it doesn't necessarily mean the Tana holds we normally write a shofar. But there are exceptional situations in each one of those cases where even if we hold that we don't write a shovar, that we would write a shovar. That's the way Shmuel is going to understand the Mishnah. So we're on Peyten Amud Aleph, around midway down the column. Okay? He says, so Amar Rabbanan, Lidi B'Farshim, Yenei D'Bar Shmuel. Now, B'makom shein kofim v'amar katafti. Let's say it's a place where they don't write ksubas, but he says, I wrote one. In other words, normally they don't write a ksuba, but I was a nice guy, I wrote a ksuba. He says, alav lavi raya. So he has the burden of proving that he wrote a ksuba. In other words, he has the burden of proof to write that he wrote a ksuba. So if he proves that he wrote a ksuba, and then she comes in with the get, so then he'll still have to pay, and then under those circumstances, he'll have to write a shofar. He'll have to, in those limited circumstances, he'll have to write a receipt. All right, that's it. Now, the makom shekotvim, let's say it's a place where they normally write the ksuba, va'amra lo katavli. In other words, she's walking in without a ksuba, so she's got to explain what's doing. So she's walking in without a ksuba, she says, they don't write ksubas. And he says, yeah, but I wrote one. So then he's got the burden of proof, proving that he wrote one. And if he proves that he wrote one, then we have to issue a shofar. Or in the alternative, it's a place that they would write the ksubas, and she says, he didn't write one for me. So alel lavi raya, she has to bring evidence that he didn't. In other words, they'll have Adim who were there at the wedding. He didn't give a ksuba at the wedding. Like they make a whole, you know, thing and they do it. The chasana now with the kala, you know, gives the ksuba, or the husband gives the ksuba to the kala. So he says, lo katavli alel lavi raya. So she has to bring evidence that he did write a ksuba, and then under those circumstances, she'll write a shofar. Okay, now let's go slowly with this. A lot of variables taking place here. So I'm sorry you came a little bit late, Michael. Did you do today's daf already, or you did or did not? Oh, so you have it already. Okay. So let's talk about it. So we're talking about the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is the woman walks into Beis Din. She has a get and she doesn't have a ksuba. She says, we were divorced and I wasn't paid for the ksuba. So she collects the ksuba. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, from here, I could deduce that it must be, the halakha is that we write a shofar, that we write a receipt. Because we don't write a receipt, what's going to prevent her from, after he dies, walking to another Beis Din and saying, I was never divorced, and here's the ksuba, because I just came up with it, and I want to get paid again. So we write a shofar. So Rav says that no. Rav says that the Mishnah is talking about a locality where they didn't write ksubas. So if they didn't write ksubas, so then I'm not going to write a shofar under those circumstances. In other words, the shofar is preventing you from coming to court and producing the document. In the places they don't write the documents, I'm not going to write a shofar. So he says, that's what Rav says. And Shmuel says, no, it could even be a place where they write the ksuba. So the Gemara says, so what, Shmuel holds right a shofar? He says, no. Shmuel will say that it's under exceptional circumstances, because there are always like exceptional circumstances that necessitate the shofar, even though normally we wouldn't write the shofar. So Rav Anan says that Shmuel explained to me personally, if it's a place where they don't write, and he says, I did write a ksuba for her, so he has to bring evidence that he wrote it. But if he brings the evidence that he wrote it, he still pays, but then she has to write a shofar for him. And then under those, that's a little unusual circumstance. Then on the alternative, if it's a place that they normally do write it, and she says he never wrote one for me, then she has the burden of proving that he didn't write it for her. But Right. So the first case is a place where they don't write ksubas, and he says, I wrote it. So he has to bring proof that he wrote a ksuba. If he cannot prove this by witnesses, he has to pay the ksuba and accept her receipt. Okay, that's the first case. Second case is where they write ksuba documents. She says, he didn't write one for me. She has to bring proof that she was not given a document. If she produces such proof, the husband has to pay the ksuba and accept her shofar, accept her receipt. Okay, so that adkan is where we did. Okay. All right.
It's much more difficult to establish the negative than the positive.
Yeah, clearly.
I would assume
it's a case where, like, there's a time when you normally give over the ksuba. Like, we have it under the chuppah that we give over the ksuba. And right at that point in time, you know, right after the kiddushin, the husband presents the wife with the ksuba. That's the way but otherwise you're correct about that. All right. Now, let me just do a few more lines, and then I will pause. Now, The Gemara says, "V'af Rav Hadarbe." Now, Rav previously said that our Mishnah was talking about a place where they didn't write the Ksuba. So Rav was chozer from that position. He retracted it. The Amar Rav, maybe makam shekofim, maybe makam she'ein kofim. Rav says it could be that our Mishnah is talking about where they would write the Ksuba or a place they didn't write the Ksuba. But the overarching principle is get gova ikar, that when a woman presents the get, that's her entitlement to the ikar ksuba, with the mano of the matayim. He says, ketuba gova tosefet. And if she presents the ksuba, she gets the tosefet. In other words, whatever additional amounts he promised her, what she, if he presents the ksuba, she gets that. That's the Rav understands the Mishnah. So Rav figures that that's like the safest way to conduct it. So the way Rav is understanding the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says, Hotziya get benimo ksuba, that this is what you were asking, how much to get. So according to Rav, she's exactly right. She just gets the ikar ksuba. And then similarly, in the second case, su benima get, he says, in that case, Rav would say she'll get the well, we'll see in the Gemara, she'll get the additional amount. Okay, well, we'll see in the Gemara about that, okay? But that would be the malach that we were going, all right? Now, all right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Rafi? Again, we have different ukimtas in the Gemara. The way Rav, okay, wait, let's go slowly. Right. All right, we'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara will address it. The Gemara will address that. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, go ahead, Malka. I wish I could see you, but... What? Scream, Malka. It's hard to hear you.
Sorry. How is it that there are places that there's no ketubah written?
Yes. So the Gemara is saying that there were localities... In other words, it's required... It's a Tanaim Bezdin. In other words, it's an obligation assumed at law. So some places would not write a ksuba because it's everybody's obligated to pay a certain amount. Please, I can't have five people talking to me, okay? So some places would have that obligation. Some people would formally write the ksuba. That's what the Gemara is saying.
So if they see someone just living with two people living together, they just presume that they're married and that he owes her the...
No. You're jumping a lot of things. We didn't say, in other words, they still have to have Erusin and Nisuin, right? They still have to do an Erusin and Nisuin with Edom, but okay. In some places they would not write a Ksuba. Okay, now.
So then what happens if one of the Edom dies? There's no proof.
No. Let's go back. The Edom are for the Erusin and Nisuin. In other words, the witness the marriage. And now, in other words, it can come on. In other words, there's no question that they're married. Either you could say like everybody knows they were married, whatever. But the point is that if that she doesn't have to produce the ksuba, no ksuba was ever written. All right, now
okay.
Let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, now the Gemara is going to ask a question against Rav. Now again, Rav's yisod is if she presents a get, that's her ticket to the ikar ksuba, which is the man of the matayim, the 100 zuz if she's an almana. Or 200 zuz if she's a betula. Okay, and if she presents the ksuba, so the ksuba typically would have an additional amount of money that's there. So whatever additional amount he promised, the additional amount she gets for the ksuba, but not the ikar. So now, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, I think this is what you were asking me about, tubaveini maget. In the second case of the Mishnah, if she presents the ksuba, but she doesn't have a get, he'll merit avad giti. She says, I had a get, but I lost it, but I was divorced. And who omer about Shavri says, yeah, I agree with you, divorced, but I paid you, and here's my receipt. B'chein Balchov, and similarly, a Balchov, a creditor, a different case, so Shishtarkov, he produces his IOU note, v'inimo principal, he doesn't have a principal, he says, haray eluli paru. So in these situations, neither one will get paid up. So we don't care about the principal case, we care about the woman with the ksuba. So here, she's producing a ksuba, she doesn't have a get, and the Mishnah says, haray eluli paru. But according to Rav, if she produces a ksuba, she should get the tosefet. So the Gemara says, "B'shleim the Shmuel." So according to Shmuel, "Muki labakom shein kofin." So Shmuel will say, "That's simple. That's only at a place where they didn't write. They wouldn't. That nobody would write ksuba." The Amar Katafti, and he says, "I wrote one." The Aminalei Aiti Raya. So we say to him, "Bring evidence that you wrote a ksuba." And if he doesn't bring evidence, immediately Zilpari will say, pay up. And so that's the way Shul will understand that line in the Mishnah. El Rav, but according to Rav, Nihid the Ikar Logavia, so the Ikar Ksuba, I understand, she doesn't have the gadget, she's not paying for it. But Tosefet, Nihid Tigbe, but she should pay at least the Tosefet. So how come, according to Rav, in the Mishnah, it doesn't say that you know, it was the Tosefet? So Amrav Yosef, Hachamay Askinan, so if Yosef says, what are we dealing with? How will Rab say the cases in the Mishnah? She'ain sham edi gerushin, that there are no edim to attest. So if she walks in, she's got a ketubah and she doesn't have a get. And there's no edim to verify. In other words, there's no get, she got a get, but she says, I don't have a get. And there's no edim around or produced to verify there was a get. So this puts him in a certain kind of superior position. He, if he was a lying type of cheat, he could say, I never divorced you and I don't owe you anything. He says, so turn the page, but he doesn't say that. He says, I did divorce you, but I paid the ksuba. So he says, instead he says, I did divorce you, but I paid the ksuba. So that's the way Rav will understand the Mishnah. So again, she produces the ksuba, but no get, and it says that he's not going to pay anything, but why doesn't he have to pay the Tosefet? Because Ksuba normally is your ticket to the Tosefet, according to Rav. So the Gemara says, because there's no Eidei Gerushin, and he could say, I never divorced you. And he says, no, I did divorce you, but I paid you everything. Now, that's it. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't hold water. We don't think it holds water. I mean, the Katani Seifa, but in the Seifa of the Mishnah, or further on in the Mishnah, it says, Roshim Gamliel Meir, Menasakanava Eilach, from the time of the Sakana, which we said is like a type of religious persecution, where everybody was, you know, farsitted to be found with any religious document. So a woman can collect her ksuba without producing the get. Baal Chov can collect his debt without producing a prosbul. In other words, presumably they both said there was a get, there was a prosbul, but we don't have it, it was unsafe for us to keep it. So, but the Ika, they gave her Shinaskin. And so it seems clear in the last part of the Mishnah, it must be their Eidei Gerushin. How could they go forward? In other words, she's collecting super shlo b'get. So it must be there's Eidei Gerushin. You like Eidei Gerushin, and there's no Eidei Gerushin, but my gavium. What is she using? In other words, what evidence is she using to collect anything? So he says, Ella, so that's not working too well for Rav. So the Gemara says, Ella kula rabba shigam lilhi. So the Gemara says, the whole last part of the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In other words, beginning with the Mishnah, when it says, if she produces a tuba, they'll get, and then similarly the Baal Chov, that's the Star Chov, from the top of, you know, Amud Aleph, that's all Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and here's the way it's going to go. As if there are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way we should understand the Mishnah. So in none of these cases, if she just produces the ksuba without the get, or the Baal Chov just produces the star without the prosbul, so they don't get paid money. But that's only if there are no Eidei Gerushin. If there are Eidim that corroborate that she was divorced, Gavya Tosefet, then she can collect the Tosefet, which is what Rav says. Rav says the ksuba gives you Tosefet. The Ikar, as far as the Ikar Ksuba is concerned, he mafka gita gavya. If she reduces the get, then she can collect the Ikar. The lo mafka gita lo gavya. And if she doesn't produce the get, she can't collect it. That's working out well for Rav. Umina sakana ba'ela, and from the time of religious persecution going forward, apagav lo mafka gita, even though she doesn't produce the get, gavya, she nevertheless can collect. Why? The Ikar. That a person can collect her ketubah without a get. All right, so that's, so again, so the main thing we wanted to say is that Rav holds, the main halacha Rav holds, is that a get is your ticket to the Ikar ketubah. Your ketubah is the ticket to the Tosefet ketubah. And then there were some difficulties understanding the top line of the Mishnah, who says ksuba meaning my get, and then it says that they don't get paid. So how does that work? So the Gemara wanted to say that we have amigo here or whatever, but then the Gemara says that there are Eidei Gerushin, So the Gemara says, the part that lo yiparu, the kinka paid, means there are no eidei gerushin. So if there's no eidei gerushin, she's not getting paid. But if there are eidei gerushin, then she'll collect the tosefet. But as far as the ikar is concerned, she has to produce the get. And then from the sakana going forward, she doesn't even have to produce the get. But there are eidei gerushin. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
See, yeah, outside, how did the agent help us here?
So the in other words, in the Mishnah, it said that if she just produces the ksuba without get, it doesn't sound like she can collect anything.
Right.
So we said, why can't she collect at least the tosefet should be able to collect? So the Gemara's answer is that there's no eidei gerushin. So there's no eidei gerushin. She's like, she's out of gas. There's no eidei gerushin. She's out of gas. But if she produces it, and we know she's divorced. So then it's like even the shtar chov is the time to collect it. So it's only come due and payable if you're divorced. So if you can't produce evidence you're divorced, then it's not time to even pay it. But the Gemara says that if, on the other hand, she does produce eidei gerushin, then the ksuba, she's home free. But for the ikar ksuba, according to Rav, she needs to produce a get. Under all circumstances, she needs to produce a get. But from the sakana going forward, even if she doesn't produce the get, in time of religious persecution, she can get the ikar, the ksuba.
So then,
first Rafi, then Fern, then Malka. Okay, go. No. The ikar is always. If she's a betula, 200 zuz. Not a betula, 100 zuz. Okay, then Fern. What's up, Fern?
But that second case where he says, I lost the shovar, that assumes that there was a get at some point, doesn't it?
He says there was a get.
And?
He said, yeah, so first, So I don't know how to fit those words in where the Gemara did a chisur and extra. The Gemara just revised its understanding of the Mishnah. He said about the shovar. But what's your question about the shovar? In other words, the case of the shovar is he says there was a get, but I paid everything, and here's my receipt. So what's the problem?
No, he said avadati et ha-shovar. He lost the shovar.
Right. He says I paid everything, but I lost the receipt.
Right. And she's being penalized because she doesn't have the get. But we're beyond the get, is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't say what's beyond the get. In other words, she's saying it was never paid. But she's saying it was never paid. But I don't have a get. I want my money. So if she doesn't have a get,
being penalized for not having a get?
Yeah, the get is her ticket to the money. Right.
He's admitting that you had the ticket. You just lost it.
Yeah, but I admit it. I had it, but I paid it. Like, we'll see in the Gemara is going to say in a minute that the get is, something's written on the get to indicate that she collected the money. But we'll see.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so right, my Malka, question
now,
is...
Now it's time for you to weigh in, Malka. Let's hear it.
I just have a question, which is that if they don't believe her, do they force him to support her?
No.
Oh, so they don't have to support her and he doesn't get a get.
Which case are you talking about if they don't believe him? Her?
If she doesn't have her get, right, to prove it, she doesn't get the ketubah money, so then do they force the husband to support her?
You mean... In other words, he could concede that he divorced her, but he said I paid her the money. In other words, the get we'll see in the Gemara, the get when the ksuba is paid, the get is ripped, and then on the get they write this is a valid get, but the money was paid. That's the idea.
I understand that, but let's say she doesn't have the get. Let's say, for whatever reason, she's going to the heirs for it. She doesn't have it. Do they force, I guess, well, it would be the heirs to support her, right?
No, in other words, if she's an almana that's not divorced, the heirs are going to support her. But if she's divorced, then everything that then she's entitled to her ksubas. So the ksubas are either from the husband or from the heirs. But the key thing is the get. I don't want to thank you so much anyway. The key point is getting the get. Okay, let me just go through the end of the sugya. I think at the end of the sugya, well, hopefully it'll be clearer. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara now. Okay, so have you been following online, or Daniel? Okay, good. Now, okay, so around 10 lines down on P10 on base. Everybody with me? Okay, now Rav Kahana, so Amri Lay, Rav Kahana, Ravasi, the Rav. So now Rav Kahana, Ravasi say to Rav, Ladidat the Amar, get go by Ikar. According to you, she produces the get, she gets the Ikar. Almanam and Isuin, the Mai Gavya. So let's say she's an almana, a widow. She wasn't divorced, but she's an almana from Nisuin, the Mai Gavya. How does she collect her ksuba? So be'edemita. So the Gemara is saying, in other words, she's an almana, the husband died. So how is she going to collect it? She'll produce Edom that say he's dead. So now I collect the Ikar. Why don't we have to be koshesh? Maybe he divorced her, and then eventually she'll produce the get in a different bezdin, and then she'll collect from that get. In other words, she'll double dip. In other words, he dies. So she'll go to one bez and says, I'm an almana. I need my ksuba, and they'll issue an order. And then she'll go to another bez and produce the get. He says, so the Gemara says, Bioshevet tachat baila. So the Gemara says that when would we let the almana from the suin collect Bioshevet tachat baila, where she was living with him up until the time of death. But maybe right before he died, he divorced her. So the Gemara says, that's his own fault. In other words, he should have told his Yorshin, I just divorced my wife. You have evidence I divorced her or whatever, and take it from there. So then the Gemara says, Almana mina Erusin b'mai gavya. Let's say she's an Almana from Erusin. How is she going to collect her ksuba? She says, be'edemita. She'll collect it with the Edom who testified that he died. Why in that case he went out afraid that he divorced her and then she'll go to another best and produce a get. Ella, so in other words, the point being here, Rav is going to retreat a little bit. In other words, Rav took it before that we don't write a shovar, Rav is going to retreat a little bit from his position here. He says, Ella, makom to eshar, katvin shovar. Rav says, in certain situations, we will write, even though normally we don't write a shovar, in certain situations, we will write a shovar. The ilo temahachi, if you don't say that way, edemita gufayu, nechush to mafka edemita bahai beidina begabia, bahadar mafka beidina achmina begabia. What's to prevent a woman from, producing witnesses to the death of my husband in one bezin and witnesses to the death in another bezin, keep collecting the ksuba. In a situation where we have no choice, we're going to write a shovar, and then so once the shovar is written, so then she's not going to be able to collect anymore from the atomim or from the estate or anything else. All right, now let me just. All right.
Who's going to send the shovar? It's going to send.
So in other words, whoever the person or entity, the person who entity who that she wants the money from is going to have the shovar, whatever it is. In other words, it'll be his yorshin. Okay, now Amarle Markish Shabri Rav Chisla Rav Ashi. Now it's interesting. They have these Rashi's around Shas, but if you look at the Rashi here, I thought it was interesting around the 20th narrow line, in the small elephant parentheses before that, Markashishu Mar Yanuka. So we don't have Mar Yanuka in our Gemara. Mar Kashisha means the older Mar, and Mar Yanuka is the younger Mar. So he says, Shnei Bani Mayul Rav Chista. Rav Chista had two sons, Vishem Shnei Shavin. They both had the same name, which sounds so unusual to our ears. He says, one second. He says, El Shagadol Korinlo Mar Kashisha. The older one, they say the older Mar. He says, so you're Korinlo Mar Yanuka, the younger Mar. You know, it sort of reminds me, I told you in Roman times, that's the way, like, if a person would have a daughter, let's say Claudia, there'd be like Claudia 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the way they would do it. In other words, like, like you'd have anyway. I've never heard of anything in our society that people have the sons with the same name.
Means Mister.
Mar does mean master, but that's what the name of the son. So let's see back in the Gemara. So back two lines, where it gets wide. So I'm going to Mar Kashisha. So I assume Mar is the son's name. I you want to say like both a title? I don't know. So I'm going to Mar Kashisha Bereid Rav Chisla Ravashi Amana Mina Erusin Minalan Dit Laktuba. How do we know Bechlal that Amana from Erusin is entitled to a Ksuba? In other words, maybe Ksuba she's only entitled after Nisuin. How do you know that after Erusin she's entitled to a Ksuba? Ilim Meha. Maybe it's from the following Mishnah which we had earlier in our Masechta. The Mishnah says Nit Armala O Nit Garsha. If a woman was widowed or divorced, bein mena erusin bein menisuin, whether after erusin or nisuin, we want to focus obviously on the erusin. So when we want to focus on the, so he says, govara kol, she collects everything. Now, govara kol means she gets the ikar ksuba and she gets the tosefa ksuba. So lechora, that sounds like that her rights to ksuba certainly accrue after erusin. So the Gemara says, dilma de katabla, maybe she wasn't al pi halacha entitled to it, but he was a nice guy, and he, in that case, wrote her a ksuba. So you say, if he wrote a ksuba to it, what is the Mishnah even teaching me? In other words, obviously, no, if somebody has undertaken a financial obligation, it has to be paid. So why would the Mishnah even teach me that halacha? So no, it could be the Mishnah is nevertheless teaching me. You may recall this, we have this. That, in other words, he writes a ksuba and he adds in a whole bunch of money. Let's see, the ksuba is for 100 zuz or 200 zuz, and he has another 100 zuz as Tosafic ksuba. So according to Rav Lazar ben Azariah, he's only adding on that extra 100 in contemplation of the ultimate marriage. In other words, he's adding on the 100.
Yeah, for your
marriage. In other words, that's his intention. So in 1 second, he says, Da'amar shlok tablo menat l'shu konsa. So Mila, so the time of the Mishnah would be teaching me that the halacha is not like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, is that if she dies, go bada kol, she collects everything, not like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, Dekanami, Dekatani, go bada kol. So a careful reading of the Mishnah would yield the same result, because the time of the Mishnah says, go bada kol, she collects everything. Yamar b'shlema d'katavlo, mishum haki, go bada kol. If it's just that he wrote it to her, therefore she's go bada kol. If he didn't write it to her, my go better call. So the point being that we tried to bring a proof from this Mishnah that as a matter of halacha, she's entitled to ksuba after erusin. So the Gemara can't prove it. The Gemara says that Mishnah is talking about where he chose to write a ksuba ahead of time. And the reason the Tana Mishnah is teaching me is that isn't that a pashut? So the Mishnah is teaching go about a call because he added in certain things. And the Mishnah is teaching if he wrote it up, then she collects it all, and then he dies or divorces her before the nisuin. There's a few more lines. Now, then the Gemara says, we're still trying to prove how do we know that a woman is entitled to a ksuba after erusin? Ella, Biela mitani Rabbi Chibarabin. Rather, from a brisa that Rabbi Chibarabin taught. The brisa says, Ishto Arusa. If a person only went through Erusin with his wife, again, we do Erusin Nisun all together, but then they did it separately. Ishto Arusa, lo oni. So if she dies, it means the husband doesn't do aninus for her. So aninus, here it means in terms of kachim. In other words, you can't eat kachim when you're an oni. So he doesn't have a din of an oni. He says, v'lo mitami lo. If he's a kohen, he's not allowed to go to her funeral. He can't be mitami to her. V'chein he lo onenet. And conversely, if he's the one who dies, she doesn't have a din of an onenet. She can eat korbano. V'lo mitami lo. Now, v'lo mitami lo, it doesn't mean a bat kohen is not under any proscription against being mitami to people, but it means she's under no obligation to be mitami to him, to be involved with his funeral. Meta eno yorsha. If she dies, he's not her heir. Made who, if he dies, govak tubatash, collects the tsuba. So again, so we're trying to prove that after Erusin you get a ksuba. And here the mission is mefurish that if he dies, she collects her ksuba. So the Gemara says, Dilma de Katabla. Maybe he wrote up a ksuba. So there's no question if he writes up a ksuba that she's obligated. So if you say, well, if he wrote it up, of course he's obligated, the state's obligated to pay it. So no, in other words, the Tan is really teaching me that, in other words, he did write up the ksuba, and you don't have a proof from this brisa. And why did he say that he has to pay for it? It's the last halacha, meita and a yorsha. In other words, notwithstanding the fact that they're so chummy wummy, and he went to Averson, and he wrote this ksuba to her, you know, and he had the candlelit dinner with her. Notwithstanding that, meita and a yorsha. If she dies, he is not her heir. That's what they're trying to after Averson. So, but in Afinami, you don't have a proof from this brisa, because the brisa could be talking about it, if he wrote up a ksuba. So there's no proof from there. So we haven't been able to prove it. All right. Who's a question comes to us on anything we did so far?
We rejected this whether it's voluntary.
Right. Both of them were where he wrote it up. We wanted to prove that as a matter of halacha, you're entitled to it.
You mentioned that the reason for the Tosefta, the time that the Tosefta is once they consummate the marriage. Imagine that they were together before the actual Nisui. I mean, not halacha. Does that mean that's going to keep in because now they're together and he has...
Again, this was my hope between the Tana Kama and Rav Blaz ben Azari. Rav Blaz ben Azari says it's dependent on him doing her koneser. So No. Koneser means to go do like the chuppah or whatever. But so I lechor as far pshut, I would think he means like legally married. I'm not going for a fling. Okay. Yeah, what's up? Okay, Rafi, go ahead. Wait, one person at a time. Go ahead. Right. Right. Okay. All right. Now. All right. So we're on line, the 10th wide line on page 10 of base. Let's all focus. Now, Amalei Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, the Rav Damar get gova ikar. According to Rav, if I produce the get, I get the ikar ksuba. Leichushtel mafka gita b'hai beidina b'gavya. Badr mafka beidina achrina b'gavya. What's to prevent a woman from multiple collections to produce the get here and get it, and then go to another bezin and collect it in another bezin? In other words, he's saying, according to Rav, I produce the ksuba. I produce the get, I get the ikar ksuba. What's to prevent a woman from getting divorced, going to bezin aleph, and then collecting, then going to Bez and Bays and collecting, and Bez and Sin collecting again. The Chit came into Karina Lay. Let's say, well, I'll say we'll rip it up. Says Amrash, but she'll say, but Inul and Subed Bay. I need it to get married again. In other words, if I want to get married again, the last for proof of being divorced. So the Gemara says, the Karina Lay, we rip it, but Kavina Nagabe, and then we write on top of the document, Gitadan Pranuhi, the fact that we ripped up this get. It's not that it was a get pasul. It's that she shouldn't go and use it again to collect. So he's saying that the procedure, at least with Zman HaChazal, was to rip it and then write on it that it was a kosher get, but we don't want her to use it to collect again. So today, you know, after the Seder get, so that there is a rip that's put in the get, but the get is taken away from her, and the Bezdin issues her a different document saying that she appeared before the Bezdin and she was given a get. She's Magureshet. What? I think so, yeah. All right. I remember one of my remember Bethel cats, I think he had a whole bunch of kittens in his house or whatever that had been used or whatever. All right, anyway. So any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Why can't they just come right over there? They have over there the document at the bottom, come and say, Aiden Fold or whatever.
Well, that's pretty close to it. Yeah.
You
could
cut that out. Put it in a place that you can open it.
No? All right.
Is there a concept of jurisdiction over the guy? Like, if she goes to many Batei Din, doesn't mean that they have jurisdiction because he's there and his money or his business is in their jurisdiction.
Yeah, it sounds like that she'd go to another Bezdin and that they would issue like an order, you know, that directing payment of money. That's the way it sounds like. So I don't know about the jurisdiction.
If they were to go to another Bezdin, they're going to go to the Yoshim to collect the money. They go to collect the money with some sort of a document. They come and say, listen, we have proof because you don't want to go into the legal the face of Hanin. They know who they paid. You should know.
It sounds like you'd like a different Bez Bate Dinim. It sounds like an issue orders. I don't know about all the procedure. Yeah, but if the Bez, yeah, but not, that's only, in other words, if she has a claim against the yorship. But here, where she's producing, if she's producing it, she has to take a shrua. Yeah, so this, I'm trying. Go over me, Nisa, you told him, it's true. Yes, we did say that. But I don't know. All right, this I'm not sure. We did say that. But I don't know what's doing with this guy. Okay, so Yosef was asking, didn't the Gemara say, the Gemara did say, you know, about the Karab, the next thing you told me, if a person is trying to collect a debt from Yitomim, so you can only collect with a Shvua, because we're afraid. That the, now again, it's talking about Yitomim who are like underage and are not old or whatever. But lo yiparai el b'shvua. So Yosef's asking. So in this case, where choshesh, the woman's going to go to different bati dinim, but wouldn't she have to take a shvua in each one?
Who said they're Yitomim?
Yeah,
they're not children, or maybe they're older like the rabbis.
Yeah. Also, yeah. First of all, we said. Yeah, we didn't say that anybody was dead here, actually. We just said that she'll go to one Bezdin and collect another Bezdin collect. So we didn't say that anybody's dead here. So might not be the Yitomim here, but with the Yitomim, so I don't know, you're right. Normally you do have to take a Shavuos, so I don't really answer that. Okay, let's wrap it up, and then that'll be it for tonight. Now, Manitin, Shnei Gittin or Shtei Ketubot. Now, let's say a woman comes into Bezdin, and she's in possession of two gittin and two ksubas. So, in other words, well, it means like this. You have ksuba with the same man. In other words, the ksuba is written, let's say, dated, and then followed by the get. And the second ksuba is a later date, followed by the second get. Go over shtei ketubot. So then she collects to collect twice. In other words, we assume she was married twice. In other words, she was married, divorced. To the same person. And he wrote two ksubas. So we assume that's an undertaking of two financial obligations. So he undertook $100,000, another $100,000. That's twice. Now, take two of a get a card. Let's say, right. All right. I won't repeat that. Anyway, let's say, okay. We should collect these jokes from Michael. Okay. Now, so he says here, take two of a get a card. Let's say she comes in with two ksubas. So the first ksuba is dated earlier, then a second ksuba, and then the get. So he said, it's going to come out, she can only collect from one. In other words, we'll see why would a person write a second ksuba. So let's be patient. Now, oktuba ushtenkiten. Or she's one ksuba, then a get, and then another get. So here also we assume she was married, divorced, and then he remarried her and then divorced her, but he didn't issue another ksuba. In other words, it's going to be that they're letting the ksuba ride, and the same ksuba will serve for the second marriage. He said, in each of these cases, it's going to be you collect once. Oktuba begeromita. Let's say she has a ksuba, then a get, then presumably she married him again, and then he died, and now she wants to collect. Ina gova el ktuba chad. In all these cases, she only gets to collect once. Shamagarish ishto benzira. If a man divorces his wife, and it means that he doesn't pay the ksuba, and then he remarries her, the understanding is like the original ksuba will hold and will keep it in place, and you'll use that ksuba. All right. So it means that they got married. He issued a ksuba. They got divorced. He didn't pay the ksuba. Then they got remarried, and it's understood that they're going to continue on with the old ksuba. What's up? Say again. What? Yeah. Okay. It's okay. Right. In other words, that's the financial obligation. We can continue on with that. Okay, now, let's see. Now, focusing on the second case in the Mishnah, which are shtei ketubot v'get achad. She's got two ksubas and one get. So the implication of that is, Gemara, ibaya b'hai gavya, ibaya b'hai gavya. It sounds like she's got ksuba aleph and ksuba beis, and then she has a get. In other words, ksuba aleph was written, say, tafshin pei, and Subabase was Tafshin Pei Aleph, and then she's got the get in Tafshin Pei Beis. So he says, so it sounds like Ibai Bahai Gabi. If she wants to do this, she could do it in one of the other ones, she could. Lema to Beitiyot to Rav Nachman. should we say it is a kasha against Rav Nachman from our Mishnah? The Rav Nachman of Mar Shmuel. The Amar Rav Nachman of Mar Shmuel, Shnei Shtar Yotzin Ze'afar Ze'ah. If I have two documents that are both issued and seem to reflect the same underlying transaction, meaning, let's say I have a document one, Reuven is lending, let's say I'm lending Yosef $10,000, that's dated in Nisan. Then a second document saying, it's really saying the loan that I made to Nisan and to Yosef. And Nisan is evidenced by this shtar, which is dated in Sivan. So Shtei Shtarot, HaYotzim Mizeh HaRzeh, or it could be evidence of a sale. In other words, like this document says I sold Green Acre to Yosef in Nisan, then the second one says I sold it to him in Sivan. So he says here, Bitel Sheni Rishon. So according to Shmuel, the second star supplants the first star. The later dated star supplants the earlier star. Now what's the difference if I have two shtarot? The difference is, let's say, right. So if I'm lending the money to Yosef, so I can collect from the Lekucho only from the date of the star. So in other words, my position is undermined by issuing the second star. So for whatever reason, I decided to issue the second star, but the second star is going to be controlling. That's what Shmuel says. He says Bitel Sheni Rishon. Or if I say I'm selling Green Acre to Yosef, and then I have another document saying it's dated later on that I'm selling Green Acre to Yosef, and then one of my creditors comes and claims Green Acre from Yosef. That's the issue. Can he come and claim it from Yosef? So if it's a creditor so if the creditor is after the first transaction, but before the second transaction, so Yosef would be vulnerable to the creditor. So he says here. So the question is, how come our mission seems to say that the woman can take the ksuba, but Shmuel's din, which doesn't look like it goes with this Mishnah, is you have so lav itmar lo amara papa umor Rav Nachman di osipe dikla sefer kafe hachanam with osip lo. So Rav Nachman means Rav Nachman and Shmuel concede that if the two documents are not exactly the same, that the second document he says the osipe dikla tosefet kafe. If the second document is not exactly the same as the first, so that's added for the dikla, for the date palm tree. Meaning, if there's a difference between the shtarot, so then you could pick which one you want. So he says here, look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Below Achlei l'shiba the batel zman shtar rishon. He wasn't mevatel the first star. With Tavar Milo Gavio, you can't collect from both. The local tabla spitibo sipila hachal kamaita, the stark to be a terakat tabla, lowest kirbata rishona hachi kamar, in titrasil hol shibut shal rishona. In other words, each one has an advantage. Let's say it's the woman. So the earlier dated star has the advantage of the earlier date. That helps her with the kucho. The later star has more goods in it. In other words, it'd be like a dick, like a date palm tree, but in other words, it's like, it's more goodies in the second ksuba. So there's an advantage and a disadvantage for each document. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. She could pick which one she wants. If she wants more money, so the second ksuba, but then she's going to cut herself off from some from Lekucho. But if she wants the Lekucho more security, it's the first one. Okay, now, he says, now, Tan Rabbanan would do the bottom line over here. So Tan Rabbanan, Hotiget, Uktuva, Umita. If this is similar to the case in the Mishnah, if she produces a get and a ksuba, and then there's evidence of his death, so meaning presumably they were married, he wrote a ksuba, then they were divorced, then they remarried, and then he has a ksuba, and then he died. So the top line in Tzadi Amnale, in get kodem l'ksuba, if the date of the get is before the ksuba, so go v'shtei ksuba, then she can collect two ksubas because the first marriage. There was an obligation to pay for the first marriage. And the fact that he wrote a tuba for the second marriage is an independent obligation. But tuba kodem leget, but if the date on the ksuba precedes the get, in a gobel tuba akat, then she only collects one ksuba. Kamagari nisho, the same like we had before. If a person divorces his wife, the hechzira, and then he remarries her, amanat ketubah rishona hechzira. In other words, if he's married, he has the ketubah. He doesn't. Then he divorces her, but he doesn't pay the ketubah, and then he remarries her. Then it's understood that that ketubah is going to come along for the second marriage. That's his whole obligation. All right.
What the numbers of the first and second ketubah? One of them is less.
Again, there were no two documents here. In other words, there's only one. In this case, there's one document.
No bonus.
There's one document. No, that's the previous case. There's one document in this case. But we're saying if the date on the get is before the ketubah, so he has an obligation at law from the first marriage. That's one obligation. And then he's got the obligation that was committed to writing from the second marriage. But if the date of the ketubah is before the get, and then they have the get, and then they remarry, and then he dies, then it's understood that they wanted to carry along the ketubah. Okay, that's going to be it for tonight. So they would write a new star. This ketubah the Yerkesa. Okay, let me end the recording. One second.